We're joined by MLB.com Blue Jays reporter Keegan Mathieson, one of the great reporters and one of the great voices in the game. Great to chat with you again, Keegan.
Glad to be here, guys. How's everything going up there?
We're good. You know, when the team's winning, you stop talking so much about the players that you didn't get at the deadline, and you start focusing on the players who were already here and some of the pieces that they did get. Maybe let's start there. First game for the new Blue Jays last night. Whit Merrifield plays center field. He also addressed his vaccination status. What was your takeaway from your first encounter as Whit Merrifield as a member of the Toronto Blue Jays?
Yeah, that answered a lot of questions very quickly. And number one, the vaccination status, of course. When the Blue Jays acquired Merrifield, it was a surprise. You know, guys, I won't pretend to sound smart and know that was coming. In fact, I think writing the Mitch White trade at the time, and I saw a tweet from our Mark Feinsand saying Whit Merrifield has been traded. I looked at that and said, okay, not my problem. I can keep going with what I'm doing. Little did I know it would soon be my problem. But the vaccination status was key. That was really big. And now that he can come back into Canada, not just in 14 days, but when they return, is massive. And I've heard there's other benefits to the vaccine as well. It probably helps him. But at this point, he's a really good fit on this roster. Now that we can focus on the baseball side, the speed he brings is a unique aspect. This is a more athletic roster now, really top to bottom. When you look at guys like Springer, at Bichette, Vladdy moves really well for a big guy. It's an athletic roster. But in terms of the guy you want to put on, think of the 2015-16 era, Dalton Pompey, kind of that pinch runner. Late in a game, if you need that, a true base stealer. And I think they have that in Merrifield now. He was 15 for 18, I believe, coming in here. He's got a couple of 40-plus steal seasons. And a month ago, that would have fit well. Now it fits beautifully on this roster because John Schneider loves to run. He loves to be aggressive. It's a chaotic and pretty fun style of baseball at times. But Merrifield embraces that. He plays everywhere, which is what the Blue Jays like to do. And you really see how it fits the identity of the team, I believe. It's you know, his numbers need to improve coming from KC. But he fits what the Jays are trying to do, and I think that improves the move automatically.
So with the Blue Jays winning last night, you saw a lot of the core contribute to, you know, the Jays winning that game. But you also saw George Springer DH. What is the concern regarding his health at this moment when we've seen him grimace in pain, when we've seen him kind of come out of the batter's box, not look right, but he's still not going to the IL. Is this a situation where they are just going to have to roll with how he's feeling right now? Or do they now have the luxury of shutting him down for a week or two because of a player like Merrifield?
Well, they will, I think, need to just roll with this and deal with it as it happens. But that doesn't mean it's convenient. That doesn't mean anything about this is good. And Springer out of the lineup again today. We'll hear very soon now from John Schneider just to see if this is more maintenance or if something was aggravated. But after this point, it has been maintenance, trying to stay ahead of that. But how many games are you playing a week? If it's a day on, then, you know, a few days off, that's troubling. If you can play two or three in a row, then take one off back-to-back, oh, okay. That's easy enough to handle, especially when you have a Merrifield. You can throw Ryan Altapia out there, who's been hitting well lately this past month. That's okay, but thinking through late September into October, you need Springer every day. Because we have almost seen the fully healthy George Springer this year, and he is an incredible baseball player. It's taken a long time to see that in Toronto because of injuries. He has not struggled really at any point, but when he's out there, you see a truly incredibly talented player defensively on the bases, hitting for power, and having that out of the leadoff spot is unfair. You know, most teams do not have that luxury, so the Blue Jays need to get this right. You know, is it a matter of pain or is it a matter of injury where it could get worse? That's what you worry about. You know, it seems like this could be something addressed in the offseason as well, whether he needs something to be fixed up there. But you do start to worry. He's your star player. He's making $150 million and he's not in there every night. You have to worry.
Keegan, I want to stay on Springer because just from the seat I sit in as a fan and I watch the joy he plays the game with and, you know, even when they show him in the dugout when someone else does something, but when he gets a simple hit, the expression of joy it's not too cool for school. Like, it's pure joy at playing baseball. And the acquisition of him 2 years ago, well, through free agency, but the signing of him 2 years ago, I think has had an even bigger effect on the young group of players and the energy and the excitement. Because with that young group of stars, a young group of stars can go either way in terms of being cool and sometimes to a negative. But boy, they seem to be having fun, and he seems to be right in the middle of everything.
Absolutely. There is really something to be said, and this can go for any sport, I believe, but certainly in baseball, about a guy in the clubhouse who, it doesn't matter if he's the big vocal leader or holding meetings, rah-rah, whatever it is, but a guy who quietly gives the rest of the roster permission to do things, you know, permission to be themselves, permission to enjoy their life in the big leagues. And that's important. I know that the dances and the home run jackets rub some people the wrong way, whatever. It's a long season. You know, I'm exhausted covering this team, and I'm sitting in an air-conditioned press box, not moving. I cannot imagine going out there every day. 162 games. It's long. It's mentally draining for these players, especially when you are standing up there getting struck out and going 0-for-4. That takes a toll. So having a leader like Springer who is able to command respect that he has earned, both with who he is as a person and his success. You know, having a ring helps out a lot when you step into a clubhouse like that. But he's able to balance that with some fun, with some of the lighter side. And I think that's healthy. You know, so many great superstar athletes, if you took them and put them in an office job, they'd be fired within a day, because suddenly that thirst for greatness starts to look a little less stable. But Springer is someone who balances that out well, and that fits with a young team. It needs to fit with a young team, because if you put a surly veteran in this clubhouse who did not want to dance around and have fun and who wanted to play a serious brand of baseball, I don't know if that works. I don't know if that fits. Mm-hmm. So it's a clubhouse chemistry thing that I think Springer is a big part of.
Keegan Mathison joining us on Overdrive. So tonight, Jose Berríos is on the mound. And in the month of July, the Blue Jays went 6-0 when he started. He earned three of those wins. Interesting that five of those six games were at home. How confident are the Blue Jays that Berríos is starting to get back to the guy we saw last year when he joined the Blue Jays and was so good down the stretch?
They really think he is at this point. And all along, Berríos' struggles have been kind of strange. You know, I think back earlier in the season when it was really bad, you could compare that to Yusei Kikuchi, but they were totally different. Kikuchi could not find a strike zone. He could not get out of the first inning. And it was something that if you watched just one batter, you knew it was bad. It was obviously, clearly, visually bad. It didn't work. But if you watched Berríos face one batter, he looked fine. He was just missing by a little bit. He was not losing the zone. He was not leaving meatball sliders over the plate every single time, but he was just missing a bit. And that can be frustrating for a pitcher, you know, because you're not trying to rebuild your mechanics. You're trying to tinker. And for Berríos as well, from 2017 until 2021, guys, five seasons, he was as consistent a player in Major League Baseball as there was. I'm talking position players, hitters, everybody. He was as consistent as it gets. So he's not used to that. But he has come back well. I think the Blue Jays really like where he's at now. And he has to be. He absolutely needs to be, because you need a big three in terms of a rotation. Gausman, Manoah, Berríos. You need at least three in the postseason if you're going to go up against the Dodgers or a Yankees or a Padres, whoever it is. That's who you need to compare yourselves to. And without Berríos, the Blue Jays aren't that. With him, I think they are.
Keegan, do you like the timing of the deadline now, the way it's set up, and not the fictitious waivers, smoke and mirrors, and, you know, whether the lineup is set now? And I know we've been through a couple of pandemic years, but maybe this is the first one since where, you know, it's a hard deadline and this is your team moving forward.
Yeah, for my own sanity, it's lovely. I think for the baseball,
well,
the
that's
baseball
what's important.
Side of it, every year I'm trying to remind myself, you know, how does this waiver deadline work again? But I like it. It forces team, because when you combine that, guys, with an extra wild card spot, there's just so many reasons for teams to be aggressive at the deadline. So many more teams are involved now and are within three or four games of that wild card spot. So there's aggression on the market, which is good. It's not always going to result in a Juan Soto trade, but I think transactions and big names moving is good for the sport. That's why the NBA, I think, is such a fantastic league, because every offseason you're seeing major names move, whether it's because of a team building exercise or because some guy wakes up and says, hey, I don't like this city, trade me. Five guys do that every offseason, and it's fantastic. I love that. We need more of that in baseball. So I think it leads to more movement because you need to set your roster. Finally, August 2, August 1, maybe next year it'll be. But when you combine that with the number of teams involved, I think you're going to see more movement and more teams buying. You know, even teams like Baltimore this year creeping into that picture, it really opens up a lot of doors. I think it's a good thing.
Well, when you're watching last night, and if you're Ross Atkins or Mark Shapiro, and you're watching some of the performances, you kind of validate not having to go out and get some big names. And it, obviously, it's one game. But, you know, Bo Bichette going 3-for-5, he's at the top of their list of players they need to get going because this offense still has room to grow. When you talk to him, when you talk to the organization, where is the balance? Is it more mechanical? Is it more mental? Is it a little bit of both in terms of Bo Bichette not being that 300 hitter guy who led the league in hits that we saw last year and so much is expected of him?
Yeah, he seems close, guys. And Bo, down in spring training, this was one I was wrong on, at least up until this point. He looked fantastic in spring training. Like, he looked like a guy who was about to light the league on fire in spring training. Hasn't happened. But the margin is so thin for him. And when we talk about mechanics with him, it's a bit of a different conversation. He has that all-natural swing. He goes by the feel of his body. So it's more about timing, I think, for Bo, and a lot about pitch selection. He loves to swing. He has never met a pitch that he does not love to swing at. And it's not a gentle swing either. He's going all out for these. So I think finding the right spots for that aggression is the key for Bo. I like him where he's at in the lineup now, a little more than when he was higher up, certainly. And if he gets going, that's really the missing piece. You know, they need more from Vladdy, absolutely. They need more. But if Bo can get back to being that 290, 300 hitter, he's going to drive in a ton of runs. You know, he has the talent to be a 30-30 guy, home runs and stolen bases, an all-around player. But, you know, one area of his game, too, I should mention, the defense. We haven't talked about that much recently, which is a good thing. He's not going to be a superstar defender, but as long as I'm not talking about it, that's a good thing for him. The bat just needs to come up, and I think he's close.
Yeah, that's a great point. Well, enjoy the game tonight in Minnesota, and as always, we appreciate you taking some time to join us here on Overdrive.
You got it, guys. Take care.